Good evening, and welcome to Fort Knox Service, a ministry of Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. My name is Steve Howell, and I'm very privileged to be here to bring you the Word of the Lord this evening. My prayer is that you'll be blessed. Find the Lord Jesus if you don't already know Him, and if you do, grow in His grace. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll start there. We have a lot of scriptures to read tonight. It's all very good. The title of my message to you this evening is Perilous Times. Perilous Times. And I have to admit that this was not the message that I was going to bring forth tonight. I had something else on my heart that I was preparing for and meditating on, as I do. And that was going like for a couple of weeks since the last message. And I thought for sure that would be the message that I brought tonight. And just a couple days ago, the Lord changed things up on me. And I said, thank you, Lord. Appreciate that last minute. But He has a tendency of doing that. And I'm grateful because I know I'm bringing the message that's on His heart. And that's what matters to me, is proclaiming His word at this service. So I trust it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Last days, what does that mean? Well, the last days means the end of this present world, or the systems that govern this world. In the scripture, the last days are also referred to as latter times, the last time, the end of the world, thy coming, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the judgment, just to name a few. Well, in these last days, this scripture tells us that there will be perilous times. What does perilous mean? Perilous means to take hard to take, or hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, and savage. So in these last days, there are going to be difficult times, times that are hard to bear, times to hard to deal with, dangerous and harsh. Well, what makes these end times so perilous? Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verse 1 again and on from there and see what he's talking about. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Again, at the end of the world, at the end of time, which there is going to be an end of all things. There is going to be a judgment to come. It's just when. That's the only question. But there's signs that he gives us concerning the last days that we'll have perilous times, as noted by these things. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now, as I go through this list, as we proceed through here, I had the thought, when the Lord first put this on my heart, to at least break one of these signs out and discuss them a little bit, but we're not going to have time tonight. We may revisit these in a future or even multiple future episodes of this series. I'm not sure. I'm just being obedient to the Lord as He lays things on my heart. But I'm encouraging you to look at these, listen to these, take them to heart, and hear what the Spirit is saying, and judge yourself according to these. And this will become more clear as we go forward. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which doesn't mean you have toilet issues. This means it's self-control in your behavior. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're entering back into this list of what accompanies these perilous times and what makes these times perilous, which is very interesting. I've never seen this before until the Lord showed it to me. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We see this little bit of swinging back and forth and what God is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul to Timothy and then on to us. The swinging back and forth between perilous times and what that looks like and what the antidote is to these perilous times. The perilous times, as we'll see in a minute, is more than what is often thought of as perilous and as dangerous. When I was a youngster, most of the preaching that I heard regarding signs of the end times was about wars, famine, earthquakes, destruction, nuclear annihilation. It was about the threat of communism spreading across the world, taking over one nation at a time until world domination is achieved. In fact, my wife and I were looking at a PBS documentary on the life of the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. And it's been a long time since I heard any of his messages. But in those messages, I was reminded, I was watching this documentary, of how prominently this theme was placed in his messages about the dangers of communism. So, taking over one nation at a time until world domination is achieved. So as we saw communism spreading throughout the world, we were told that these were signs that the end is drawing near. However, and that has been a part of my thinking and many people's eschatology for years, because that was so strongly believed and preached. However, in this passage, signs of perilous times are quite different than I was told as a youngster. The signs are ungodly character being displayed and spiritual deception on the rise. In fact, of all the many places in the Scripture where the end times are referenced, by far the majority of these references are not warnings about evil governments with visions of world domination, but they are warnings about the evil that lurks and grows in the heart of individuals. Completely changes everything. It'll knock paradigms on their head if we just understand not what people have preached for so many years, so faithfully have done their best to preach it, but what the Word of God actually says. Here is a short list of what the Scriptures actually warn us of, and we'll read the Scriptures that these come from in a minute. But listen to this short list of what the Scriptures all warn us of as being a part of the end times. Believers departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. Believers leaving sound doctrine and going after falsehoods. Scoffers following their own lust and not walking in holiness. Mockers who walk after their own lust, sensual, and as a result, they pull away from other believers and the body of Christ. Those who pull away from the body of Christ, and many antichrist, the spirit of antichrist being displayed in many different ways and in many different personalities. Believers who fall away. Some of these are repeated because I'm taking them from different scriptures. False Christ, wars, major earth issues, things going on in the earth that are very damaging, persecutions, people offended, betrayals, iniquity abound, and the love of many waxing cold. I want you to listen to these scriptures where these references came from regarding the end times. There is not one mention of communist, socialist, dictatorship, monarchies, Republican, or Democrat. These scriptures clearly show that sin and spiritual deception are what are so dangerous and destructive. They are what will bring this present world to face the end of this age and the judgment of God, and they are the primary signs that the end is near. Now listen to these scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. In the latter days, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. This is what Paul is telling his spiritual son, Timothy. Preach the word. Don't tell them how you got it figured out. Don't tell them your thoughts. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, which is following that last verse. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing all these things, and again, what are all these things that are mentioned? It's deceit and sin running rampant in the world, and even believers being affected so much so that they are caught up with their own lust, their own thoughts, their own feelings, and following after doctrines that aren't true, wanting to hear things that tickle their ears, wanting their favorite things being preached over and over and over again, not wanting to hear difficult things, not wanting to hear hard messages, not wanting to hear truth. It is only when the correct enemy is identified that we can implement the correct strategy for our warfare. Our war is a spiritual one. Thus, our fight must be a spiritual one. Our victory will come as we engage the right enemy on the right battlefield using the right weapons. I am so saddened at what I see taking place in Western Christianity, particularly in America today, because we have stopped seeing the signs of evil running rampant as men not living as they ought to live. And we are pursuing political things to the extent that we have lost sight of biblical gospel and the demands that the Lord puts on us. Jude, verses 17 through 20. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, pull away, sensual, not having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. A spiritual problem, a spiritual remedy, a spiritual problem, a spiritual remedy. We see it over and over and over again, that the only remedy to what's going on in the world is a spiritual remedy. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. These are those who say that they have the anointing. Christ means the anointed one. These are those who are working against the true anointing and saying they have an anointing. But they went out from us, but they were not from us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This pulling away, this separating, this turning from the body of Christ and going after these other things, again, is a sign of the end times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, what is a sign of the end time? That there's a falling away, people leaving the faith, leaving the true faith, leaving what is real, stopping doing what God has called them to do and getting involved in any number of things that is different than that. This is Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1, and most of the end time understanding of what will happen, most of what I was brought up with came from passages similar to this. But like I said, by and large, most of the passages deal with things that don't have to do with what we see here. But even in this, it moves on from that. And that'll be more understandable as we get into it. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I have the anointing. I am God's man of power for this hour. I am the one that you should be listening to above all else. I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Very interesting. I never put all this together. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. This is all leading up to the end of the days, and these are signs that the end is coming. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of the end. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Now we're getting to what the rest of the scriptures is saying about this end time period of what's going to be prevalent there. Again, deception. People turning on their brothers and sisters. And because iniquity shall abound, iniquity, sinfulness, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. Again, here are the signs. Here's the problem. Here's the fix. What is the fix? That we rise up and start ruling everything? No, not necessarily. It's got to begin with us rising up and ruling and reigning over what's going on in our own lives, taking authority over that, seeing that branch out into our families, and seeing the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus preached into all the nations. You know, I was born again in early February 1979. I had been recently transferred in the U.S. Air Force to the United Kingdom. At that time, Jimmy Carter was president of the U.S. He was a Democrat. And to my shame, I voted for him. In my youthful ignorance. Now, this is not a message about politics. I'm going to be talking about politics. It's not about politics. It's not about party. It's not about personality. It's about the body of Christ needs to come away from our hope being in that. That there is no party that's our salvation. There's no personality that's our salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. And His gospel is what we should carry, not a party ticket. But I just wanted to finish up by saying I did vote for Jimmy Carter, and the reason I voted for him was why a young person would vote for somebody. It's because he spoke with a southern accent and wore blue jeans. I had no idea what his policies were. I just thought he was a nice man with a big grin. And that's how dangerous some of this political stuff can be, is because people start voting for somebody because they're my color. Or they don't vote for somebody because they're not my color. Or I like that guy because he speaks with the same kind of accent as I do. Or he wears suits and I like that. Or he wears jeans and I like that. Or he has this personality and I like that. He's a go-getter. Whatever. It's all about personal likes and dislikes and a lot of times instead of what is right before God. What does the Word of God has to say? What does the Lord, what's the best option? But I voted for Jimmy Carter. But he was president at the time that I was shipped to England. And James Callaghan was the prime minister of England. And he was of the Labour Party, which is a leftist group in England. The Labour Party is a central left political party in the United Kingdom that had been described as an alliance of social democrats, democratic socialists, and trade unionists. I got that off Wikipedia, so if you don't like that description, don't hate me for it. But what I'm trying to say is that I got saved when a Democrat was in office in the United States, and I just left the United States to go to England, and I left a Democratic government behind at the behest of the U.S. Air Force to go to England where there was a center-left, left-leaning party in power there. And you know what? Even though everything seems to be wrong, according to many Christians today, I got saved. Jesus Christ became a reality to me. The politically left were in power in both countries, the one that I was coming from and the one that I just arrived in. I was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost shortly after arriving in England. No government or political party led me to faith in Jesus. And no human institution could have stopped me coming from Him. I was led to Jesus through the preaching of the gospel and through the wooing of the Holy Spirit. What was I saved from? I was saved from sin and its effects. My problem was not that which was happening outside of me. It was what I had allowed to exist and grow within me. Brothers and sisters, that was not just my problem. It's every person's problem. Amen. My greatest perils were not from lacking a better form of government, party, or human personality. The perils that I faced were the ones of a spiritual nature. Those that were within me, within the friends that I ran with, and within the society that I was a part of. Those perils are in people, all people, regardless of their political allegiance. I'm getting close to winding this up, but I really want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying one party is better than another, although I do believe that there are party platforms that are better than others. I'm not saying that one candidate is better than another. I'm sure that there's going to be people upset with me on both sides of this argument. Save your hate mail. I don't need it. It's not going to help me. I'm speaking the truth. And I'm not even dealing with that right now. What I'm saying is, regardless of what side you think has the right answers, those aren't the right answers to the human dilemma. The human dilemma is sin. It's corruptness on the inside. Regardless of what's corrupt on the outside, that's not going to fix until somebody who's got a fixed inside works on the outside. And too often we think we can legislate this and that, and we can push for this and that, and we can make this happen, and this is going to be a better place to live. It might be. But I've lived under governments that are not that probably are more in line with my political preferences. And I still saw evil triumph. I still saw men in the party that I would have preferred being in office. I still saw men in those political places with evil hearts doing the wrong things. And God says that is what's perilous, not what label you place on who's in charge. Mark chapter 7, verse 21-23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. This is Jesus speaking. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheme, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Those things come from whatever badge a person is wearing on their political badge. If they're not right before God, if they haven't surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're just as potentially perilous to this world. Their attitudes, their heart, their corruptness, their pursuits are just as dangerous, whether a donkey or an elephant. Brothers and sisters, there's got to be some sense made of all this, and what's happening lately is not biblical. We are closer to the end than we have ever been before. How close are we? I don't know. I don't know for sure. But I do know that many of the biblical signs are visible, at least to me, and they ought to be to you. From what the Lord has shown me, it's not about us losing our American way of life that matters, but it's us losing our way in life. Let me say that again. It's not about us losing our American way of life. And there are people that stand up and they would fight to the death to keep our American way of life, but yet they have lost their own way in life. A patriot is a good thing. Someone who loves their country and is willing to give of themselves for their country. But we have a bigger kingdom that we're a part of. And oftentimes, even in this great land in which we live, and I am very pleased to call myself an American citizen, I still get teary-eyed when I hear the national anthem being played. It's been a long time since I've heard it in person. But it still affects me. I'm still thankful for what I have been given as a result of living in this land. But I did not come to Jesus because of the American flag. I came to Jesus because of the call of the gospel. My life was forever changed because of the gospel at work in my life. It's not about us losing our American way of life that matters, but us losing our way in life. I implore you, in the name of Jesus, to stop looking at the wrong signs. Stop coming to the wrong conclusions. Stop looking at the wrong enemy. And stop waging the wrong war. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll revisit this again. It's very important that we close with this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In political persuasion? No. In all holy conversation, in godliness. What manner of person ought I to be, knowing that the end is going to come? And there are signs all around me. I'm not predicting any end. It could be another 100 years. It could be another 1,000 years. I don't know. But I know we're closer now than we've ever been. And I know the signs are so clear around me. I have seen so much evil displayed. All those things that we read, first of all, go through that list. It's amazing. Is that in me? If it is, you're a signpost. But you're not a signpost to Jesus. You're a signpost that says, you know, the end is coming. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Be a pearl, not a peril. And that may be hard to understand for those of you who don't speak Texas English, but just in case, be a pearl, P-E-A-R-L, not a peril. We need to rethink what we're doing, why we're doing it, who we're serving, what we really believe the enemy is, and what we believe the solution is. And if you're fighting the wrong enemy, I guarantee you, you're using the wrong weapons. And brothers and sisters, I'm calling on everybody to rethink your eschatology. Rethink what the Scripture says. Take a new look, a fresh look at what the Scripture says about the signs of the end times. And it has nothing to do with the communists taking over. It has nothing to do with this becoming a socialist land that we fought so hard to keep it from that. And it's becoming that. It has to do with men's hearts being filled with sin and deception. And we do have something that we can do about that. I can't stop an earthquake. I can't stop a tidal wave. I can't stop a monsoon. I can't stop a dictator from taking power. There's a lot of things I can't do, but you know what? I haven't been called to do those things. I've been called to stop the sin growing within me. I've been called to know the truth and allow the truth to make me free and to not walk in deception and not follow false Christ. And I've been called to lead other people to Jesus and disciple them in the truth. That's what I can do. That's what you can do. I implore you to do so in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity of speaking this word that you put on my heart. Lord, I pray that the reality of this will sink in. And just like you have brought a fresh understanding to my mind and my heart concerning the end times, I pray that you'll do so for all your people, Lord. Lord, you're not saying, and I didn't say tonight, that governments don't matter and politics don't have any place. But Lord, I know you're saying that put them in the right place. That our trust should not be in those things, and our life's calling is not in those things, but our life's calling is in serving you and seeing your gospel preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.